Good morning, sir, and what is your name, sir?
Jared Redding.
Jared Redding.
Yes, sir.
Redding, okay, yes, sir. Anybody have him?
Mr. Neal.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Neal is going to conduct your hearing, sir.
Okay.
Good morning, sir. Would you state your name and ABC number for the record, please?
Jared Redding, 301-929.
Thanks, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Committee this morning. I'm going to introduce the board members to you now, the people who will be hearing your case this morning. To my right is the Honorable Michael Johnson. To his right is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. And to his right is the Honorable Louis Canomas. Also in the room we have Mr. Grady from the Department of Corrections, and he also represents the parole officer today. And prior to this hearing, you signed and received notification advising you of the board hearing, and on that form you were notified of your right to either represent yourself or to hire an attorney at your own expense. Do you have an attorney, sir, or are you going to represent yourself today?
I'm going to represent myself today.
All right, thanks, sir. All right, I'm swearing you, Mr. Grady M. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes.
I do. All right, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, sir. In phase one, we'll determine if the term and condition of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. Start phase one. With phase one, I'm going to read the allegations that are on your warrant, and I'm going to ask you on each allegation whether it is true or false. Do you understand that, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. You have two allegations on your warrant. The first allegation is violation of the condition of supervision number 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to report and complete the Maricopa Reentry Center program on or about October 11, 2017. That's true or false, sir?
True.
Alright, the other allegation on your warrant is violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about October 11, 2017, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated October 12, 2017. Is that true or false, sir?
True.
Okay. Based on the evidence of Mr. Ray, I move to find Mr. Redding was delinquent and as he violated the term condition of his supervision and that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse in a criminal way or company.
Second. Agreed.
Okay, sir. Now we're going to move on to phase two, but before we start the discussion, Mr. Green is going to give us further information.
Mr. Redding was released from DOC on August 30th of 2017. He was arrested on October 12th of 2017 by parole staff. He has no new charges. He was returned back to DOC on October 12th of 2017. He has a CSED of May 29th of 2018 that reflects zero of scan days. Current conviction, 2015, burglary, second degree, 3 years, 6 months. He has no prior convictions, one term with DOC, his CUIR scores are 2-3, mental health scores are 3, substance abuse scores are 1. He has no gang affiliation, no prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary violations are minimal, with drugs noted. Other arrests, 2003, obstructing justice, Ohio, juvenile detention. 2003, burglary, Ohio, juvenile detention. 2004, misconduct involving weapons, Ohio, juvenile detention. 2008, burglary, Ohio, felony conviction, state prison. 2008, forgery, Ohio, felony conviction, state prison. 2008, stolen property, Ohio, felony conviction, state prison. 2014, assault, Washington, felony conviction, state prison. 2014, robbery, Washington, felony conviction, state prison. 2014, controlled substance violation, Washington, felony conviction, state prison. He has a community risk score of a G4, V4.
Thank you, sir.
All right, here we go, some of the information in your packet here. Okay, seated on August 30th of 17, you were released from prison and approved residence at the Octagon Group Facility located at 2530 West Madison Street, Phoenix, Arizona. No other residence was approved. Sir, did you remain at that address the whole time you're out, or did?
Yes, I did, sir. I remained at that address, and I'm still approved at that address as well.
Okay. I don't see any listed employment. Did you work at all while you were out, sir?
I did. I was just doing some work for my family, but as far as me having a job, like, I have jobs lined up. I did not obtain full employment. I was in the process of actually going to school, and I wanted to try to get into school before I got a job. That way I could work around my school.
You say you have employment lined up for when you're finished or when you get back out?
Yes, I do have employment lined up for when I get back out. And I don't know if this is my turn to speak on my behalf right now, or if I should just let you finish asking me questions.
Okay. All right, another programming is reading through this one. On the 31st, 30th, during your initial intake, you referred to the Task Color of the Day program, and you were assigned the color mint for random drug testing. While assigned to the color mint, you were responsible for submitting one urine sample, which was on September 12, 17, and was tested positive for meth, cocaine, and opiates. On September 13th, your color was changed to brown due to sanctions. While assigned to color brown, you were responsible for submitting one urine sample on September 2017 when tested positive for meth and cocaine. Then on October 2nd, you were assigned to color silver. And while under that, you submitted one sample under the color silver on October 1st, 2017 with negative test results. Failed to submit samples for testing on September 18th, October 10th, and October 11th. On October 30th, 17, you were directed to participate in all programming available at the Octagon Group. On September 13th, 2017, you were sanctioned to CAP for substance abuse programming, which you failed to attend. So it seems like you have ongoing drug problems, sir. Is that true?
Yes. Can you hear me right now, sir?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Okay. Oh, yes, sir. I can hear you just fine.
Well, we do have trouble once in a while with the
Yeah, the phone is kind of staticky. Sir, yes, I can admit that I do have a drug problem. And, you know, first of all, I just want to take full responsibility for my actions, my behavior, and my choices. I realize that, you know, I want to apologize to the community as well for being a liability to the community, because I know that once, you know, I start using drugs, that puts me in the liability category to the community. And I know how to be an asset to the community, sir. I know how to be a proactive and a productive member of society. I know how to go to work and gain a paycheck and, you know, at the end of the year, file my income taxes and receive an income tax check. I know how to be a productive member of society, sir. And I was actually at MRC, and I had fractured my wrist, as you can see, before I went to MRC. And at MRC, they don't have any medical staff there. So I went to the emergency room, and when I came back to MRC, they told me that they had to medically discharge me because they don't have any medical staff at MRC. So I called my PO, and I called Mr. Turner. I went to his office, and he's like, okay, come down here. So I told him what was going on, and he said, okay, because I needed to follow up with orthopedic specialists for my wrist. And long story short, when it was time for me, between the time that I had got released from MRC and between the time that I was supposed to go back to MRC, I relapsed. I did. And that is the reason why I didn't return back to MRC, because I did relapse, sir. And like I said, I take full responsibility for my actions. As far as my place of residence, I'm still approved to go back to the Octagon. My parents just passed away, and I just received some inheritance, like my money for inheritance, and I owe Maricopa County $8,000 for restitution. So if I was to be granted back on parole, one of the first things I would do is to go make, you know, a financial payment on my restitution. And, you know, I would, second of all, I would get back into my NA program, get back into my 12-step program with NA, and then just automatically seek employment as soon as possible.
Okay. That sounds good. So if we were to let you out, you would apply to go back to the Octagon, because every time you're in, when you go back out, you still have to, they still have to go through their process, but if you're still approved there, it probably wouldn't be a problem. So that's your plan, is to try to get back in the Octagon, and then hopefully they would assign you to do the MRC program, because I understand it's a really good program.
Yeah, the MRC program, it is a really good program. I can really vouch and say that MRC, I was at MRC for 10 days, and when I left, because they medically discharged me, they said, okay, when you come back, I was in the 30-day program, and they said I won't have to start all over, that I would just have to finish my programming with 20 days, but like I said, I did relapse. But as far as MRC, I don't have anything bad to say about MRC. You can wear your own clothes. The staff there is really good. They help you out with anything that they can. As far as your family, as far as anything that has to do with your treatment at MRC, the staff there is really good. And I am really in favor of MRC. But like I said, when I left the Octagon, they told me that they would leave my bed open for me, and that I was still approved to come back there, because they knew what my situation was. So as far as me going back to the Octagon, that won't be a problem at all.
Okay. Well, sound like you're pretty motivated. So you said you were trying to get a school. What is your plan for the future? What would you like? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, sir, I'm 31 years old. I don't have any kids. And honestly, I want to get on a career path for myself. That's why I wanted to go to school first. I wanted to go to Gateway Community College in Phoenix, get signed up for the HVAC program, and then work around my schooling. That way, I don't have to, because I'm a convicted felon. That's a fact. And in America, convicted felons are kind of looked down on, and I just don't want to keep working at Walmart and at Burger King for the rest of my life. I want to get on a career path. That way I can have some tools under my belt to say, hey, I'm a certified HVAC technician, or I'm a certified welder, and that way I can get a steady job for myself instead of just having to go apply at any job and I have to take whatever comes my way, because that's the situation I am now. Any job that I apply for, if they say that I'm hired, I have to go work there, because my options are really limited right now as to where, if I was a certified welder or a certified HVAC technician, and then I would have options, sir.
Yeah, that's true. And you realize that through your parole officer, different places they can refer you to help you get a job as a convicted felon, you know what I mean? But I understand
not from personal experience, but from people I know, and it's really, really, really hard once you've been in prison.
It is. It's not hard to get a job. It's hard to get a career job as a felon, because you can go get any job anywhere. But as far as a good paying career job, yeah, it is hard, unless you have some kind of experience, like I said, in welding or HVAC technician or some kind of trade under your belt. But as of right now, I have to go out there and get whatever jobs available until I get those certificates under my belt.
Okay.
And that's one thing that I...
Okay. I'm going to see if any of my fellow board members have any questions for you this time.
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Reddy, I understand what you're saying, and I hear what you're saying about what you need to do to be a productive citizen, get yourself together, but I'm going to tell you, very disappointed that you're not talking about doing something to correct your drug problem. You say that you relapsed out there, and you were out less than 2 weeks before you were using methamphetamine, cocaine, and opiates, and you continued to do drugs, even though when your parole officer tried to get you into a program to assist you with doing drugs, so you didn't complete the program. So before you can do anything else, you got to take care of yourself and do something about this drugs that you had. You tested positive for drugs on every time you tested, with the exception of one time on October 1st, you tested negative, but every other time, either you didn't, you failed to submit a urine sample, or you tested positive for drugs. So how are you going to do any of those things while you're out there doing drugs, sir?
Like I said, if I was to be released at the Octagon, I was working my 12-step NA program. I have a sponsor out there. And like I said, I would be more than willing to go back to MRC to address my drug issue, because I really did get something out of being at MRC. And that's one thing that me and my parole officer, Mr. Turner, talked about. He kept telling me that he didn't really want to send me back to prison, because he knew that by me being in prison, that I wouldn't address my drug problem as best as I could if I were in MRC. So, like I said, I don't have a problem with going to MRC. I know that I have a drug problem, and I'm willing to do whatever I have to do.
So your parole officer did work with you, sir. It's evident that he was working with you. So tell me again why you did not go to MRC and complete that program when your parole officer sent you there in reference to your drug use.
Like I said, sir, I was at MRC for 10 days, and I got medically discharged because my wrist was fractured. They don't have medical care there. So between the time that I left MRC and the time that I was supposed to return back to MRC, I did relapse, sir. I will be honest with you, I relapsed. And by me relapsing, I was in a high-risk situation. I wasn't recognizing my triggers, and I wasn't making responsible choices at the time. Like, I should have made the responsible choice of returning back to MRC. But due to my drug use, I didn't make a conscious decision to return back to MRC, sir. That's why.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Wright.
Mr. Redmond, now, do you have family in Arizona?
I do have family. I have grandparents in Arizona. I have a couple cousins, aunts in Arizona. I have a really good family and moral support here in Phoenix, Arizona.
I guess the reason I was asking that, because it seemed that earlier along the way that you had committed, a number of offenses in Ohio and in the state of Washington, and I was just wondering, why did you come to Arizona, sir, and then continue committing crimes, sir? What happened?
I came to Arizona to try to pretty much start all over. When I came out here, like I said, I don't have any kids, and I pretty much got involved with the wrong crowd. I pretty much got involved with the wrong crowd. I'm not an affiliated gang member or anything. I was putting myself in high-risk situations, and I wasn't recognizing my triggers as I know to do. So by me putting myself in high-risk situations, I was just making unconscious decisions, sir.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, sir, and thank you, Honorable Mr. Neal.
Any other questions?
Well, sir, we're coming to the end of your hearing, and the board will go into a discussion to determine whether to reinstate you to community supervision or whether to revoke it. But prior to us going to discussion, we would like to give you an opportunity to give us any other information that you might want us to know before we make that decision, but we ask that you don't repeat yourself.
Okay. Like I said, I take full responsibility for all my actions and all my bad choices that I made. If I were to be reinstated back on parole, like I said, one of the first things that I would do is to get back involved into my Narcotics Anonymous program, my 12-step program. I would make financial payments on my restitution and whatever else that my parole officer would want me to do to address my drug issue. I would be all for it because, like I said, I can't admit that I do have a drug problem and that a lot of my bad choices and bad decisions were because of my drug use. But I'm more than willing to do whatever I have to do to help myself and to be a productive member of society and to be an asset in the community and not a liability. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And we're going to be going into discussion now. We'll be talking amongst ourselves to make a determination on this. You may think we're talking to you, but we're not. We're discussing your case. We ask that you remain silent, but listen to everything you say. We operate under an open meeting law, so everything we do is public information. So, you can hear what our discussion is and what our decision is while we do it. Okay?
Okay. All right.
The board is now in discussion. This is one of those very two sides to everything in this verdict. I really like Mr. Rennie's attitude and all that right now, but there's quite a history, but in Ohio and Washington. Based on everything that he told us, the information we have in the report, everything, I'm inclined to return Mr. Redden to community supervision. It's really hard to tell if he's really turned the corner or not. He seems to in his presentation, and hopefully his presentation was honest and true to heart. So my suggestion is, or my opinion is, to return Mr. Ray to community supervision, but I'm more than willing to listen to my colleagues to see what their opinion are. All right, sir.
I'm going to just say one thing. I'm just going to say that I'm not supportive of returning him to community supervision. And I'm going to just say, based on the experience, he was out less than two weeks before he relapsed into drugs. His PO tried to work with him to send him to class. And he does have a good story about what he needs to do, but the number one thing he needs to do is work on getting off drugs. He didn't really mention anything that he's doing since he's been incarcerated for over a month and a half to work with his drug program. I don't know if he's going to NA or doing anything while he's incarcerated to get out of it. He has a history where he came out here from Ohio and Washington to straighten out his life, and he, instead of doing that, has continued to get in trouble and do drugs, which a lot of these crimes, burglary and the weapons violation, forgery, are a lot of crimes, a lot of times surrounded by drugs. And I'm just not supportive of Mr. Redding being released. I think he needs to spend his time in there, work on a plan to get himself together, attend some AA meetings or NA meetings while he's incarcerated, and get his life together. But he's proven that when he's been out, he's relapsed. And he didn't just relapse, but he relapsed where he was not just doing one drug, he was doing cocaine, methamphetamine, and opiates. So I'm just not supportive. I don't think he's conducive to being released on community supervision at this time.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Yeah, just a little follow-up to that, too, especially after hearing Mr. Johnson, and that is that Mr. Redden is very charismatic. He sounds like he's got some salesmanship and some real potential for himself if he would, like, use 100% of that positive energy, but it does sound like he's still struggling with his drug issues, and I'm not quite sure if he's ready to return to the community.
Thank you. Dr. Wright?
I agree with the Mr. Johnson and Mr. Kawanis on that one. Yes, sir.
Okay. Also, while listening to my fellow board members, I went back to a few of my notes, and yeah, I agree with the charisma and salesmanship, but the problem with the charisma and salesmanship is that I think some of it is a little bit too prepared, a lot of the right touch words and everything, but I think that what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and I move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Redden and find that he was delinquent, violating terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse his criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Redden, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. With your continuing criminal history and, you know, some of the timing on it, come to Arizona, and you know, right back into it pretty much. And then as soon as things went kind of contrary when you were out because of your risk, then you relapsed. We think that you should have just spent your remaining time, which is about, not quite 6 months, but spend that time, get any program you can from the Department of Correction while you're in, anything they have to offer there, get it, and then in the meantime, develop yourself a plan so that when you get out, that you can work with your family and have their support and make sure that you get off the drugs and stay off the drugs. I can assure you that a lifetime of drug use and everything will shorten your life considerably, and I don't think you enjoy being in prison, but you spend a lot of time in criminal justice system in your life. About half as an adult, half as a juvenile. So anyway, we don't want you to take this as a negative. Just we feel that you would be better served to spend the rest of your time developing a plan and getting any program you can there, find out what you can get on the outside once you get out, because I assure you that any kind of addiction like that, you can't just spend 30 days and be totally done with it. It's going to be a struggle the rest of your life, so you have to have a good plan to maintain yourself so you don't get in trouble with it. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you, and we do wish you luck, and your hearing's over. Would you please get the phone back to us,
please? All right, thank you.
All
right. He's not in here, so I'll just hang it up, okay?